There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Here's what I think on Sunday, guys. Kirk Cousins has another big day, 300-plus yards, and I think we win. But wait. Mike, you have concerns about injuries, so what is the latest injury report?
Well, I want to be explosive on offense, get down the field. Drake London was a limited participant today. He's got that hip injury, the hip pointer, so he's listed as questionable. Now, Drew Dahlman has been out there and getting more and more reps, but Newsill will still be the center because Dahlman is also questionable with the ankle. It may as yet be some more treatment for Drake once he gets back to down to New Orleans, and it could be still game time. Coach was optimistic, but he's always optimistic about the injuries. The good news is Pitts was a full participant. We were a little worried about that hamstring yesterday. Judon was back to practice after whatever that illness was. Troy Anderson was good to go. Lindstrom good to go as well. And Grady, as he said, with that Achilles, you're going to play great. I'll be out there. Okay, stop yelling. So the only guy missing is Drake. Can Pitts, take care of the details as Zach Robinson wants. I'd love to have Pitts go off in this game since Drake won't be out there potentially.
Yeah. Well, listen, we said as we started the show today, part of this is you're just better right now. And this is another test for you to go prove, just like the Cowboys were, came in here, ailing and not playing well and all these things going on with their team, and we beat them. Now, I know it probably should have been more than what it was, but at the end of the day, a win is a win. And I'm looking at this the same way, Mike. You're going to go into New Orleans. I don't care how it happens. You've got to show that you are a better team. And I don't want to have any of these doubts or, looking at this team differently. If 1 week we're able to beat Dallas and then you come back with a team that doesn't have any of their starting wide receivers, a new interim head coach, two guys that we're worried about all day long in Taysom Hill and Kamara, and you're telling me that they're going to beat us? Like, I can't buy into that knowing even if Drake is not 100%, we should be better on Sunday. So this is about Ra having them ready and, more importantly, not get caught slipping. And he said it all week, no trap games in the NFL. If you lose this game based on the fact that you weren't ready, Mike, or prepared necessarily, then shame on you, because that should not be the case with this division up for grabs literally on Sunday.
If Coach won't say it, I will. It's a trap.
Uh-oh.
Now, granted, Marquez Valdes-Scandling, Jermaine Jackson, also you've got Mason Tipton. Those are the guys who would be at wide receiver for you because Wilson's out, Olave's out, and we mentioned, they're going to find some way, some gadget play for that guy, Taysom Hill.
Yeah, they will.
And Kamara is good to go. So it's still, still a concern, but, Derek Carr has not been good. Their touchdowns, their offense has been really anemic. And as we said, even though edge rush, we used to be like the calling card for Cam Jordan. He hasn't been great. But watch out for Granderson, because there was a stat today about the pass rush protection. And we haven't really mentioned McGarry much this year. McGarry grades out in the bottom third of NFL starting tackles as far as pass protection. So something to keep an eye on.
Well, and Cam has enjoyed going up against him, right? Let's be honest.
And whether they rotate Granderson, just something to keep an eye on.
All right, let's hear from our quarterback guys. It's time for the quarterback report, which is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lake Lanier. Join us, and it's just an hour away from Atlanta. Kirk Cousins sits down with Dave Archer to preview Sunday's game.
Let's get it right here. Let's get in the end zone. Let's go! This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
A chance to catch up with Kirk Cousins now here before this New Orleans game. Kirk challenges. You've seen Tampa twice. Actually handled that extremely well. This was a New Orleans team that gave you guys a bit of a problem in week four. Tell me about what's different about going into the second game.
Well, it's a better football team than their record. They did give us a challenge. We didn't score an offensive touchdown in the game we played them. I think they do a great job mixing up their coverages. They also were missing really the heart and soul of their defense, DeMario Davis, the last time we played them. He's back. So it'll be a good challenge for us. And then anytime you go into the Superdome, you understand just the added challenge being in a hostile place, a noisy place. So for so many reasons, we've got to play our best football to have a chance to win.
You've played in a number of rivalry games, both in college but also in the National Football League in your career. This is one of those more heated rivalries between two teams. How much does that play into it, or do you have to push that out of your mind?
Well, you felt it when we played at home here in Atlanta, and you'll feel it again, I think, in New Orleans, although this time they're not, the wind's not at your back in that case. So, but all the more reason to want to get on the plane and fly home and be able to provide your fan base with a win against a rival. So the all-time series before this season was completely even. And then we were able to go one up, and you know, we'd love nothing more than to be able to go two up and not get it back to even.
I know how much you've enjoyed having some running attack. This team limited your running attack last time. How important is that in this game?
I think anytime you go on the road, if you can run the football, it just takes a lot of pressure off of your team, off of your offense. Time of possession, running the football helps our defense so much. So, you know, I can't say enough about how when we can run the football, the way it raises our ceiling as an offense and as a football team. And like every game, I think we'll commit to trying to establish that throughout the game.
Okay, last thing for you. There's a little bit of desperate feel to them. It felt like you had kind of that desperate feel last week against Dallas. Is there something dangerous about that, unscouted things?
I think the key arch is anytime a coach is replaced, the team in my history tends to lock it in, and you're going to get their best effort. I think also you mentioned that desperation, the sense of urgency. It's always there in this league, but I think the Saints will play with that on Sunday. So I just see it as we've got to be, for so many reasons, on our preparation, on the details, and playing at our best level. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be disappointed with the results. So just that sense of urgency has to show up all week long and as we get to the stadium on Sunday.
As always, thanks for your time. Go get you another one.
Thanks, Arch.
Yeah, man, he knows the story. It was that botched punt return. I don't know. Still know what that was. It happened right in front of us where we got Kadarrell Hodge to pounce on it for a score. And then we mentioned the Troy Anderson pick six, one of his best plays as a Falcon. And then it was all cool field goals after that. Four Youngway cool field goals, so no offensive touchdowns, as Kirk pointed out.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all week. And I think, more importantly, this offense is different now, though. And it should be. 5-6 weeks after you played them, going into week nine, this should be and feel different. If it doesn't, then I don't know what you've been watching. You know, we put up 31 against the Bucks, 27 against the Cowboys. You could have easily scored 30 plus against the Cowboys too, by the way. But they kind of bogged down in the fourth quarter. Nevertheless, I don't expect this game on Sunday to play out like that game did. And I don't expect them to score a lot of points either, Mike. Listen, they want this to be a grinded out, time of possession kind of game. Because that's the only way I think they can stay up and be in this game. Mike, if we go up 14 and now Carr's got to throw it around the yard with guys he's not familiar with, I think this is a different deal. So that's the pressure I'm hoping we...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Put on them early.
They lost to Carolina. That's why Coach Dennis Allen got. But they've scored a combined 40 points their last three games.
Total. All right. Coming up, strong arm story of the day. UGA needs its best game on the road tomorrow. Will they get it? We'll tell you why they just might next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk about the Dogs and Ole Miss, because Steve Koonin said, Mikey, this is the one he circled on the schedule because it's so hard to play up there. He figured they'd be good. Right. And they're having a really good season. Now, they haven't, won all their games. But this is the SEC, and we know sometimes that's tough. I think the Kentucky loss, Mike, going back and looking at their schedule, at home losing to Kentucky, that was one that, again, you say, how does that happen? But then you think about how the Dogs played at Kentucky, and maybe Kentucky's defense is better than people gave it a credit for. Nevertheless, this is an elimination game for Ole Miss. By the way, 3:30 start on ABC tomorrow, and we've been talking about their defense all week long. Now, I pointed this out, and I want to make sure that I say it again for Dog fans. I think this could simply come down to they stop the run. They're one of the best at doing it. They're number three in the nation, averaging about 89 yards a game, giving up about 89. Can the Dogs run for 100 yards or more, Mike, in this game on Ole Miss?
Well, it looks like, and he didn't show up in the injury report, that Trevor Etienne will be okay. So that's good news. But certainly you want to be able to establish the run. I apologize for being a broken record. What do I say every week? Bobo, run, play action, and that should be where things start to succeed and become easier for Carson Beck.
Well, you said it for Texas, and it worked.
Right, when they finally got to it. Look, there's not when we get into these Carson Beck conversations like we had earlier with Danny Cannell, there have been drops, there's been routes that haven't been run properly, and as you and I talked about earlier, you just don't replace Brock Bowers, and Ladd McConkey just had an unbelievable knack for getting open and running great routes. So we've had some of the, like, Ra-Ra Thomas is gone, never got a chance. You know, Kobe, we talked yesterday about his suspension, hasn't been lifted. So you just got to be able to make good decisions on the road in a hostile environment. Maybe the weather's a factor. It is a good defense. Ole Miss, you think of them as more finesse, Carl, right, because they score, but they're in the trenches because, you know, Lane Kiffin went into the portal and got him some trenches, you know, with some money. So not going to be easy, but Lane Kiffin, as we said, the first time he wins a big game like this, that will be his first time. He's had some big wins, like he's beaten LSU a few times, but this would be the biggest win in Lane Kiffin's career as a head coach, period.
Yeah, and in a moment they need it, too. Let's hear Lane talk about Carson Beck here as we talk about the Dogs and Ole Miss. It is a big game tomorrow in the SEC.
It's a good problem to have. To me, you have a highly talented quarterback like him that can make all the throws and, has thrown some picks. You just got to work through that part, and still you got a great quarterback. Versus some people around the country say, okay, well, they protect the ball, but the quarterback can't make the throws. So it's a good problem to have. Like I said, these guys scored 30 in every game and are extremely talented.
We know that. He knows that. That is not lip service. I don't think you go into this game and say, Carson Beck has, thrown – three in three games, Bama, Texas, Florida, and therefore we're going to win the game. But you do think if you're Ole Miss, he does give it up, and he's been giving it up. Can we take advantage of it?
Right.
Texas couldn't. Guys, for all those turnovers, Texas couldn't get anything out of it, Mike. I mean, the Alabama turnovers happened early. He was great late in the second half. So Lane's right. He's got all the tools. And by the way, I just saw where Beck was answering a question this week and talking about what he is going to do. And they asked him about this, and this is a quick quote. He says, the interceptions, it's in-game decision-making. This is Beck. Okay. There are times where it's okay to throw it away if it's not there. That's something I think I did a lot better last year. That's just me out there trying to compete and trying to make a play, talking about the interceptions. He goes on to say, no matter what, I'm going to keep going out there every single play and trying to make it happen for my teammates. He says, I've always been resilient that way. That's a word we've heard Kirby talk about pretty much all season when it comes to Beck, right?
Right. And as we heard, and Danny Cannell brought this up, when he throws something bad, Kirby's not going to start screaming, come here, give me a hug. Come on, buddy. Come on. which gets us back to his psyche, you know, his psyche, you know, and I'm not saying it's a fragile psyche, but it's a little tender.
Okay.
So, I mean, just make good decisions. Let and Bobo run the freaking ball, because Ole Miss, by the way, they've intercepted 7 passes, but is top 25 in the turnover margin. So they do create turnovers. They've also, as we mentioned, got a great defensive front. They sack the quarterback a lot. And then on the flip side, Jackson Dart, you talked about, you know, in the Texas game, you know, yours had never seen anything like Georgia. They couldn't do anything with the ball. I get a feeling if Jackson Dart gets a turnover, they may do something. But here's some more numbers for you. Jackson Dart hasn't played a secondary as good as Georgia. Georgia's only given up 8 touchdowns in the passing game.
I would agree with that. This is, again, and the way I stated it earlier was they're tested for these moments. This is what Texas wasn't and Georgia was. Has nothing to do with talent. Texas is as talented as anybody. Mike, the moment where you get into these games and Georgia knows what this is about and they've been there and the staff is understanding and they and that translates. I know you may say, well, the players change. Yeah, they do, but guess what? How the staff handles this stuff. See, at Texas all week, you know what it was? It's a big game. It's a big game, guys.
Right.
And then you get a little freaked out. And then guess what? You get blitzed, and all of a sudden now you're fighting for your life. Georgia's not reacting that way. And for Ole Miss, are they up there this week? It's a big game. Georgia's like, we've been here. We're good. We'll handle it.
And that's what I was, you know, we were talking yesterday about the money element and, you know, like they want to compete and they built this collective for Ole Miss that's, you know, gotten on average $10 million. Now, this year it's the most money that's come in. And we said that you see the results, but they still have 2 losses. The Kentucky loss probably had Ole Miss fans go, what are we paying for? And then LSU, that's a toss up game. I just think, and by the way, if you want to go next level with the nerds, the SI guys, you know, we talk about the analytics stuff. You want to hear the predictions?
Yeah.
The predictive information? So the nerds who come up with these computer simulations, and I guess the computers work overtime.
Okay.
When they're not, I guess, trying to mine crypto. So the Ole Miss comes out ahead slightly, like 2 or 3 points. 53.9% of the computer's most recent simulations of the game, according to Sports Illustrated, that leaves Ole Miss as the presumptive winner in the remaining 46.1% of simulations.
Okay. All right, so this is a simulator.
Yeah, again, it's, you know, I'm doing a hand gesture. If we were on Twitch, you could see. So let's just play physical football, run the ball, make smart decisions if you're Carson Beck. And what's going to typically happen, this is what Ole Miss kind of is. It's kind of like the conversations you and I used to have about Mark Richt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone was like so excited about Mark because it was just so mediocre under Donnan and Ray Goff. But Ole Miss believes, and now with NIL, they should be able to compete with Alabama.
I would agree.
You know, because if you could take it back to the old days, they could actually have beaten Alabama. We've seen it. So now there's really no excuse. There's no, like, remember the old days with Cutcliffe and Eli? Okay, you won 10 games every few years, or Houston not, or, you know, when Tupperville was back there. It's got to be better, higher expectations for Ole Miss. That's why they put the money in there.
Let's hear Kirby talk about Jackson Dart, because Georgia's task with trying to slow him down on Saturday.
I think Jackson Dart's playing probably one of the best quarterbacks playing in the country in terms of explosive plays. A lot of respect for how he competes. And I mean, the guy runs extremely physical, like a SEC running back. He doesn't try to avoid contact. He actually seeks it. And you can tell he's got a fiery, competitive attitude.
Yeah. He does, and he's pretty talented, but I think that now the Dogs have played, in my opinion, Mike, 2 of the most talented guys in college football, at Alabama and you know, Milroe, and certainly with yours, and then you saw a little bit of Arch, and I think when you get those experiences against those kinds of players, you're prepared for Jackson Dart.
Guy hit us up yesterday on the text line, because we don't get a chance to read all of it, especially when we're on remote. We're up at Taco Mac. Great crowd. Thanks to everybody who came out up there at Marietta, Dallas Highway. But a guy yesterday on the text line was saying, he goes, do you think that Carson Beck's thinking about the next level? I mean, I don't think in a real-time situation with guys trying to kick your butt, and you think he's sitting there going, well, if I don't make this throw, I won't be the top 5 pick. I don't think that goes into his mind. I just think maybe he just had such good quality receivers that he just, I don't know. He's got good receivers. These aren't slouches either. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I know we always talk about, you know, Brock Bowers not being there, but Brock Bowers didn't catch all the passes. It just seemed like it last year.
I never like to bring this in to a conversation because – nobody knows, but people have talked about his new girlfriend and that being a part of, as Steve Coonan mentioned, living in his best life.
Right.
You are the star quarterback at the University of Georgia. You've got, you know, anything at your fingertips that you probably want. And with all of that, Mike, comes a certain amount of pressure off the field that maybe Carson hasn't had to deal with. And I'm going to tell you guys, being the starter and being the backup is a totally different deal.
That's a totally different deal. So you add those things and you say, okay, how much of this stuff is affecting him? I don't like to bring that stuff in because I don't know what their relationship is and I don't care. That's his business. But people look at that and go, whoa, he's got a new hot girlfriend. What's going on there?
I know. And we talked about this. He's got a dang Lamborghini. What's a college student need? Well, again, when you don't win, that stuff bubbles up. And when you do win, nobody gives a flip. You know, like I said, Stetson Bennett had an amazing ability to just process this because he never got respect. You know, even when he won his national championship, the sub-dog fan is like, we don't want him. Get somebody else in there, you know?
Yeah.
Either way, Smith, Lovett, and Bell, you were brought here for a reason, right? So do your jobs. ETN looks like the ribs he's going to be hurting, but he's going to play. But to me, it's just about, you know, Kirby and, like, if this blows up in their face, if he has a bad day and they find themselves not in the national championship, it's because Kirby can't find that super electrifying quarterback.
Oh, I agree with that. Now,
that's undeniable.
That I agree with. Now, this gets back to the kind of kids you're bringing in and you recruiting. My talent overwhelms. Right. At the end of the day, talent wins, man, and you can tell me as good as, you know, Stetson Bennett was, and he was good. Don't get me wrong. But the teams were loaded.
Right. And I just felt, and I had this conversation with a couple of Florida fans at the bar yesterday. You know, the ceiling for DJ Lagway is arguably higher than Carson Beck in his final year here at Georgia.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Hey, man, more to get to here as we continue to talk about this weekend.
Hey, and one thing real quick, as best we can tell, Haynes King is going to start.
Yeah.
He was listed as a captain for Georgia Tech. I guess the only question is, can Tyler Santucci, Georgia Tech's DC, come up with some way to keep Cam Ward under like 350 yards passing in this game, right?
I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. Boy, Cam is, he's the front runner. I think one of them at least. Mm. I still think Shedeur Sanders might be the number one overall pick,
I still think you're right. Noon start for Tech, and Brent Key, we're pulling for you, man, because we can't stand the U.
All right, we got more to get to. Stay there. We'll go around college football. There are elimination games that we got to talk about, all right, and we will. Hawks in action tonight as well, and we're getting ready for Atlanta United tomorrow in the biggest match of the season. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is an elimination weekend in college football. Dukes and Bale, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I think the biggest one, Mike, or at least one that we'll be paying attention to, is Alabama-LSU because both have two losses. Now, look, we don't know what the committee is going to say down the road when it comes to three lost teams because we're not there yet. We don't know what that looks like. But we will after this weekend. And after this Tuesday when the rankings come out, Mike, we're going to have an idea of what they think about these three lost teams. But you're not putting a three-loss team in front of a two-loss and certainly a one-loss or a team that's going to compete for their conference championship. So I think it's kind of self-explanatory, which is why Ole Miss has to win, in my opinion, against Georgia this weekend. But, Mike, this LSU-Alabama game, Brian Kelly, for all that we think about him, I thought he kind of gaffed the game at A&M. And now you find yourself in another big game, and DeBoer is not Saban, but what does Brian Kelly do here at home?
And again, the thing with these guys that we talked earlier about the secondary, you know, you think about LSU as like some of the really bad, you know, secondary guys that go on to the NFL, Alabama too. Certainly Nick Saban took obviously a big time role in coaching those guys up, but seems like this could be like a dial-a-score score potentially, unless the weather's a factor. They got to finish. The Tigers don't finish games,
correct,
to your point about the A&M game. You know, they lost 38-23 to A&M, and they blew that 10-point lead at halftime. So that's what you're talking about. You know, the Jalen Milrow thing. I mean, what is Kelly? By the way, imagine you lose three games the first year post-Saban.
Well,
I mean, this, you talk about like loser leaves town. This is an elimination game. They talk about separation Saturday. This is one for Ole Miss. Ole Miss loses, they're done. And some say they're done anyway. But these guys, loser here, unless everybody else who's got one loss in the other conferences, Carl, like really fades, these guys are done.
I also think, though, you can't compare this to Saban. Because Alabama wasn't loaded when Saban got there. Mm. It took the next 2 years for him to get the team he wanted, the recruiting where he wanted, and then they took off. And you guys know what happened. Four national championships in a six-year period, I think it was, for Alabama. But this is Kalen DeBoer inheriting in a new world of NIL and transfer portal where you can get the guys you want. Alabama didn't lose a whole lot. I know everybody thinks Saban left. He did. But from a personnel standpoint, they're still really talented. So, Mike, I think this looks even worse, in fact, if they lose. And now you're talking about a three-loss Alabama team that probably is not going to be in the college football playoff.
According to ESPN, and I don't know how you do this, but they set up their practices so the squad, quote, is able to get up to a fast start. Because kind of like Georgia, in the games they've either lost or struggled in, they've gotten off to a brutal start. Now, turnovers aside, they just look sluggish, like the Tennessee game.
Right.
How that one started. So, Okay. He says, quote, from DeBoer, you just can't dig yourself a hole and give the opponent momentum. Either way, that one, this is like a sort of a de facto playoff game in the SEC.
Milroe ran for 155 and 4 touchdowns against LSU last year.
There you go.
Passed for 219. He killed him. They cannot allow that to happen at home against him this year. And I think, to me, it's just that fundamentally simple. This isn't that hard. Garrett Nussmeier has to play better for LSU, but this is a big one. In a night game at LSU, you know anything can happen. Oh. This could come down to the last series, last play. Who knows how this is going to shake out.
Steak is heading down there from the steakhouse, cha-cha. He's down in New Orleans, and it's I think it's Tulane homecoming this weekend, but all the Bama fans, if you can't get a room, it's tough to get a room in Baton Rouge.
For sure.
It's going to be up. The quarter between the Falcon fans and the Tide fans, man, it's going to be upside down. The other games, and we talked about, what do you know about Indiana? So it's funny, I had a bunch of FSU fans.
They haven't played anybody.
And a bunch of FSU fans saying, we got to get this Kirk Cignetti. I go, he's just like Norvell. All these guys are transfers. He took Sony from everybody.
He did.
You know, including his old team, James Madison, and guys from Cincinnati and everything else. I'm not saying, look, as long as you can sustain it, it's a great business model. But you think they will beat? I mean, it's a big number against Michigan because they say Indiana's run defense is the best, and Michigan can't really do anything but run the ball. They can't throw it. But Indiana going to take care of business.
Well,
and how much does this gain them in the college football playoff? You know, meeting room.
Well, just here's my issue with it. Like for example, Georgia, or if you look at Florida, right, who struggled, but they're still keeping their head above water. Two of the toughest schedules in college football, where you're playing ranked team after ranked team. The only ranked team on their schedule is Ohio State, and that isn't until next week. So the problem the committee's going to have with Indiana is, unless they run the table and beat Ohio State at Ohio State, Mike, which would be a significant win, and then you can justify them and say, okay, whatever we want to do with them is fine. But if they lose, let's just say, to Michigan or either Ohio State, and they're a two-loss team but have had a great season, do you still put them in? And that's going to be a real question when you don't have any ranked opponents for the first 9 or 10 weeks of your schedule. And you go into Michigan, by the way, they're not ranked.
Right.
It's Michigan, but they're not ranked. So I don't know how this looks as far as Indiana, but I will say this. They are good. I watched them. I took them in the pick segment a couple of weeks ago. They do have a really good defense. I just don't know how good they are, and I won't know until they play Ohio State.
Hey, man, another team which we haven't really seen a lot of, and this was I was thinking about this for our pick segment, but I stayed away. BYU at their arch rival Utah,
and they're on the road.
And
right?
Utah's not good. They're 4-4. It's not one of Willingham's better teams. I mean, the quarterback, the 8th year that he's had eligibility, he's bagged up again. But BYU, it's only, let me look at the number real quick, it's only a 3-point spread against the two Utes. But I didn't touch it because it seems like it's one of those like a trap rivalry type deals with Utah will get up. But BYU's got one of the best defenses. They don't make mistakes penalty-wise. They're just clean.
I don't think people believe in BYU because, again, the games are on like this one, 10-15. So you're not watching it, right? Most times people, especially in the South, here's the deal. They're really good, and they're expected to win the Big 12. That is their ticket into not only the college football playoff, Mike, but also having one of those top seeds because obviously the conference champions get that. I just don't think this is a spot where they slip up, not against this Utah team. They're going to play hard. The crowd will be amped. BYU was just better this year, and I don't think this is a spot. Now, if Utah was healthy and maybe had played better, I might buy in. This isn't that Utah team. But I hear you as far as the spread is concerned because, again, that doesn't mean they don't win by 1 point.
And then there's the Florida Gators, and do you get a bounce when you hear your athletic director say that Billy Napier is going to be around? They came out and said he's good.
He had to.
Yeah, and look, the fact that you got Olagwe, we talked about him earlier, you can see the future is bright. You didn't embarrass yourself in the cocktail part. Hell, if Lagway's healthy, maybe it goes to the fourth quarter in that one. Still kind of did. And then, you're going to smoke Florida State because they're hapless. They play the Irish, by the way. They're 26-point dogs up in South Bend. Boy, Carl, boy, am I glad I didn't book that trip to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm glad you are, too.
But getting back to the Florida Gators, you feel Texas got some time off, right? They're going to go pounce? What's going on here?
Yeah, this should be. It should be. The reason why I say he had to, recruiting is killing him. And I'm not saying Napier per se, just the uncertainty of what's going on with the program moving forward. Mike, I can't promise you I'm going to be here. Why am I coming? Right? So I think that Strickland had to say what he said, and I do think he meant it. He's been saying it all season, like, hey, he's not going anywhere. We're committed, blah, blah, blah. But Florida going to Texas.
21.5-point dogs with the Ivy League kid playing quarterback.
Yeah, it's just a tough spot for him. And yours is starting to play better. I know dog fans don't want to hear this, but that was your second game. He had come back at Oklahoma. That was his second game. I didn't know if he had the flow or the feel. He's starting to play a lot better, and I just think Texas right now is revving up for what I think, Mike, is going to be a run towards the SEC championship game.
I know that a lot of folks, and we're waiting to see, you know, when the rubber really hits the road. The only big shakeup in this first of the College Football Playoff Committee's rankings was putting Ohio State ahead of Georgia. But
it was.
Both teams are kind of, you know, the Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other. Georgia's strength of schedule, slightly better. Both teams against the best teams they played that were, you know, best in the country. You know, they come up short slightly. You know, Ohio State at the end because the quarterback, you know, remember they had that too many men on the field. Quarterback downs it, didn't have any time, game over. So I don't lose sleep over that. And as you pointed out, as long as Georgia's an SEC champ, you know, they'll be fine. But this game, I know we spent a lot of time this week on Ole Miss. I'm really curious. I think it really becomes the $64,000 question, which Carson Beck shows up? The guy that was supposed to be a Heisman Trophy candidate to start the season, or the guy who's been just throwing the ball all over the place?
I did not pick the week of Texas because I had conflicting interest, right?
Right.
But I will tell you, I will not be surprised if the Dogs find a way to lose this game. I'm not, because they've been on the edge, and the teams that they've played just haven't taken advantage of their mistakes. But I also will not be surprised if the Dogs go up there and handle business like we expect them to, and Kirby just keeps rolling. You know, right now I look at a team like Kansas City, Mike, in the NFL, and you go, they're 8-0. Have you seen their 8-0? It has not been pretty.
No, it's a shaky 8-0.
It is a shaky 8-0. That is what I'm looking at with the Dogs. This 7-1 is like, okay, they're 7-1, and they're really good, but I feel like it should be better.
Well, the record always, look, your record is what the command says. Parcells says the record is because that's what you are. You know, Georgia slipped up. I mean, I think the game plan was flawed against Alabama. Should have ran the ball more. But then you get back to, you know, you look at the rest of this and you say, okay, I feel that Ohio State, Texas, the big question for me is Miami. And we're going to see Miami at noon against Tech. I just don't trust that defense. Danny Cannell told us he thinks they are going to be in this playoff and not just be in the playoff. They're going to do something and maybe can win a title because nobody can keep up with that special player, Cam Ward. He compared him to Joe Burrow in 2019 with LSU.
And Burrow won the national championship. Hey, man, coming up, you're going to hear our conversation with BMAC, Brian McFadden, as we talk about what's going on around the NFL. What did he say about the Saints and Falcons for Sunday? You'll hear it. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.